thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I have been getting more and more excited about this study, probably because I need it more than you do. Really, I really believe that with all of my heart. So at the beginning of the year, we started a series kind of shooting off of what was happening in the weekend services, which was called Start, and we jumped in on Wednesday nights to what we were calling and what we've been calling No Shortcuts. So for 3 weeks, we talked about the importance of no shortcuts and what that looks like when we take shortcuts. Last week, and I would say it's still under the umbrella of no shortcuts, we dove into this, the reality of this challenge and the reality of what each and every one of us have to look at every single day when we look in the mirror and we have to make a choice. And I'm not going to review everything we talked about last week, but just encourage you to get the notes or listen. Just try to download whatever it was that we talked about last week, because we don't have time tonight to talk about it. But we talked about in life, people are either multipliers or diminishers. And I explained that a little bit last week and talked about and even gave a definition. We're going to do it again tonight. The difference between what it means to be a multiplier. Jesus was a multiplier. Everywhere Jesus went, he multiplied. He multiplied because of the way that he spoke into people's lives. And we talked about the difference between being a multiplier or being a diminisher. And I mentioned last week to you that in my life growing up, I unfortunately came in contact early on in life with what I would call unintentional diminishers. People weren't out and they weren't bent on diminishing me necessarily. They were unintentional diminishers. They were just people that were not intentional and focused on multiplying, speaking truth and life into other people's lives. Therefore, those people are blessed and themselves are multiplied. And so we talked about that great challenge and we looked at it through the lenses of Scripture, how that Jesus from the very beginning was a multiplier. Everywhere Jesus went, when he spoke into people's lives, he multiplied. We talked about the four things that Jesus taught us last week, and I don't want to go back and review all of those, but I want to just tell you the first one, just to remind those of you that maybe weren't here. Four things that Jesus taught us when it came to being a multiplier. The first one was this: Jesus sees not just what you're doing, but what you will become. So that was the amazing thing about Jesus when he called the disciples when they were fishermen. He didn't just notice what they were doing. He was able to see what they were going to become. And that's the Jesus that we serve. He has this ability to know what we're going to become. And so Jesus came as the greatest multiplier ever to come on planet Earth. And as a result of him coming, he taught us some principles and some keys about multiplication. And so this is week two of what may be 3 or 4 weeks of the difference between being a multiplier or diminisher. I would say that all of us in this room, and I mentioned this last week, have come face to face in our lives with people we would define as diminishers. And by definition, and let's just go ahead and look at that on the front page of your outline before we read Matthew chapter 5, just as part of our review. So a multiplier is a person or a thing that multiplies. Everywhere a multiplier goes, they just add to life, they add to the equation, they add to the atmosphere, the temperature of the room, they just multiply everything that they come in contact with. On the other hand, a diminisher means to make or cause to seem smaller, less or less important. That's what a diminisher does. Someone that makes us feel smaller or less important. Every single one of us in this room have come face to face with diminishers in our life. And we know how deadly that is. The challenge that we started to take up last week is, which are we? Are we multipliers like Jesus? Everywhere we go, we're adding to people's lives. Or are we diminishers? So keeping that in mind, let me look at Matthew chapter 5. I referenced this last week. I reference it often, but I don't want to spend a lot of time here. But again, we have to remember the context of when Matthew chapter 5 was spoken. It was the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus, very beginning. when he's looking out over the world and he's looking over the potential or the possibilities of what God has given to him. In other words, humanity. Jesus is looking and here is the humanity that the Father has given him. Everywhere you go, you have the opportunity to say, this is the humanity that God has given to me. I am going to choose to be a multiplier in this arena. Because it's one or the other. We're not neutral. We are either multiplying or we are diminishing everywhere that we go. So here's what Jesus said in the very beginning of his Sermon on the Mount. So he's at the Sea of Galilee. He's probably got a few thousand people gathered around, and you've got this natural amphitheater right there at the Sea of Galilee, Mount of Beatitudes, and Jesus is speaking. And he says this. He says, you are the salt of the earth. What good is it if the salt loses its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Really important that we know and we understand the context of when Jesus was speaking this. He was saying something that was incredibly complimentary and yet challenging at the same time. Jesus had this amazing way everywhere he went to compliment and challenge at the same time. Here Jesus is paying the ultimate compliment to people that are heathens, people that aren't even disciples, they're not even followers of Jesus yet. And he says, you are the salt of the earth, you are a preservative. You're the preservative, you are the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, didn't he? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And here at the very beginning of his dealings with humanity, he dares to say to them, you are the light of the world. How could Jesus say that? How could Jesus say that to unregenerated people, people that didn't even know what it meant to be a follower of Jesus? How could Jesus see that? Here's how Jesus could do it. He was a multiplier. He knew that he was going to spend 3 years on planet Earth and he was going to make maximum impact because of how he did life. And he did it very intentionally, very intentionally. And our challenge is going to be to embrace the way that Jesus did life. As a multiplier. Just embrace that in such a way that I see that as a compliment. Jesus, you're calling me the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Thank you for that compliment. But the other side of that coin is that is the greatest challenge given to humanity. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And yet right here, to humanity that doesn't even know the cost of following Jesus yet, he says to them, you are what I am. That's literally what he's saying. You are what I am. He ensured that that would be true because when he left, he put his Holy Spirit inside of us. So he expected us to make maximum impact in greater ways than even he did. He said that in his word. So this whole idea of being a multiplier is something that is done with great intentionality. So I asked you last week to consider in your life, in the arena that you walk in, people that are diminishers and what that does to you. And what it does to the other people that live in that world. Think about somebody that you know is a diminisher. And I'm not saying that so you point your finger at them. I'm saying that to think about how they suck the life out of everybody they come in contact with. Everywhere they go, they just suck the life out of people. But on the other hand, think about somebody that's a multiplier. And the difference that they make when they come into the same room that you're in. And I said this to the Lord. I've said it to the Lord several times in the last couple weeks. Help me, please, Lord, to get this because I want to understand what it means to be a multiplier. I want to speak. I want to be this. I want to be the salt of the earth, and I want to be the light of the world. So I'm going to talk to us tonight just about three disciplines of a multiplier, just three. Say, that's all. They're big. It's a big deal. We're going to talk about three disciplines of a multiplier. I want you to think about. Maybe write this down on the top of your outline somewhere. I didn't have time to put it in your notes. I thought about it earlier today, and I'll talk about it in just a few minutes. Write down this. Dirty 30s, timeless teens. Write that down. Dirty 30s. Dirty 30s, timeless teens. Did you get it? You didn't get it. Dirty 30s. The 30s. The dirty 30s, okay? and the timeless teens. Just write it down. I'll explain it. Say thank you. You're welcome. I'm happy to explain that. I don't want that to be confusing. Dirty 30s, timeless teens. Are you ready? Here we go. Disciplines of a multiplier. Let me give you number one. Write it down, please. Multipliers, and I want you thinking Jesus here. Don't think anybody but Jesus. Number one, multipliers attract and optimize talent. A multiplier is someone that attracts and optimizes talent. That's what they do. They attract talent. Everywhere they go, they attract talent. Now, let's be careful that we don't just quickly label talent wrongly. Because if you look at the 12 that Jesus called, they were certainly rough around the edges. They certainly had their challenges. We certainly see it laid out for us in Scripture. We see the denial of Jesus. We see all kinds of things from these disciples who were doubters to critical to everything in between. So let's not just too quickly jump to conclusions with the word talent. I put the definition on your outline for a reason. So a multiplier, number one, attracts and optimizes talent. Here's the definition of talent. A special or natural ability or aptitude, a capacity for achievement or success. Every single one of you in here are incredibly talented. Say, yes, I am. Say it like you mean it. Yes, I am. You are incredibly talented. How do I know that? Because Jesus made you. God made you, and He created you in your mother's womb, and He created you with this amazing gift and talent set. Here's what could have and can still be happening in your life. If you are on a collision course all of your life with diminishers, you don't realize how talented you are. You have no idea how talented you are because you have run into people who have told you things other than that all of your life. That's a lie. When Jesus saw the disciples, no matter what was said about them, up until that moment when Jesus began to speak into their lives, He saw talent, and He was going to optimize that talent because He knew it was there because He put it there. How do we know He put it there? Because He said to the disciples, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, before they were even walking it out. So there was something resident on the inside of them that was part of the hardwiring of God that has been there since the beginning of humanity. So there's a few bullet points on your outline. No fill-ins with this, but just that we go through this. Important that we understand what a master Jesus was at this. Jesus' disciples were gathered by casting a large net. So Jesus goes out, and everywhere He went, there was this gigantic net. And everywhere He went, He was just throwing that net out and telling the people the truth about who He was and who the Father was and casting this giant net. That's what multipliers do. Multipliers cast a giant net. Everywhere they go, they're throwing this gigantic net out there. Why? Because they want to catch people. They want to catch people and they want to draw people in. And as they draw people in, they begin to take time and they begin to identify and they begin to recognize, because what they want to do is they want to optimize the talent that is resident, even if it's unidentifiable. You have talent that may be unidentifiable because you've been around diminishers, maybe unintentional diminishers. Maybe your parents were unintentional diminishers. And they just told you growing up, you're just not going to be very successful. You're just not very good looking. You're just not real smart. And when you grow up hearing that, then that talent gets layered over with all kinds of stinking thinking. And then we're trying to figure out how to do life. But here's another thing that Jesus did. He looked beyond the boundaries when he chose the talent. He looked beyond the boundaries. He didn't go to the religious of that day. He didn't go to the people that were schooled and educated in the laws of that day. Those were not the people He went to. He went to the people that were just doing life. And he dared to walk up to them and maybe whispered to some of them and just said, hey, I just want you to know I see things inside of you. Oh, I see things inside of you. Oh, I see things inside of you. And he began to draw those things out of people. And as he began to draw those things out, there's this amazing multiplication that begins to happen inside of the individual when they begin to realize that they are talented. And they are talented because God made them that way. That was Jesus. He was the master at this. People that are multipliers identify what people do easily and freely. It's such an an art and a science. If you want to be a multiplier, just hang around people and pay attention. It is not brain damage and it's not rocket science. Just hang around people and watch them and see what they're doing. Just see what they're doing. Man, do you know how good you are at this? Do you know really how good you are at this? And you begin to speak that to people. You begin to multiply in their lives things that God has put there. And you don't have to have any kind of a degree. All you have to do is just pay attention. See, that's what Jesus did. Everywhere he went, he just paid attention to people. And that's what multipliers do. They pay attention to people. Why should they pay attention to people? Because people are the only thing they're going to spend eternity with. That's all we're going to spend eternity with is each other. Not this big building, not our house, not any of that stuff. It's only people. It's only people. Oh, I want to be able to get this. So we need to be looking for talent everywhere. I would challenge all of us to do this and do this with intentionality. Look for the talent that's resident in you as well as in others. That is super important that you do that. It is super important that you look for the talent that is resident in you. Because if you can't find the talent that's resident in you, it's going to be very difficult to find talent in other people. You are talented. Say, I am talented. Say it again. Say it again. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Look at what Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 14 said. Here's Jesus speaking, the beginning. This is Dr. Luke here. And Dr. Luke is observing Jesus. How long had they been together? A month, maybe? 3 weeks? 6 months? I don't know at this point how long they've been together. But here's what the Bible describes in Luke chapter 12. One day, soon afterwards, he went out to the mountains to pray, and he prayed all night. I highlighted that on my outline. He prayed all night. At daybreak, he called together his followers. So I want you to imagine Jesus doing this. He's calling together his followers. And he chose 12 of them to be the inner circle of his disciples. They were appointed as his apostles or his missionaries. I wonder if that night Jesus looked over the crowd of thousands of people. He went up to the mountain and he prayed all night. What did he pray? I wonder if he prayed, Father, show me the 12. Show me the 12 that I can multiply. Show me the 12. Just show me the 12. Show me the 10. Show me the 5, whatever it was. And maybe the Father just whispered to him, I got 12 for you. I got 12 for you, and I'm gonna show you the 12. And maybe he prayed all night, and the names popped into his mind. And because here's the Bible says, he goes down at daybreak, he calls all of them together, and then he picks out 12 of them. Why 12? Because those are the ones that he was going to intentionally multiply. Jesus didn't pick thousands of them, he picked 12. Maybe you have one. Maybe you have two. Maybe you have three, maybe you have five, but it's your assignment to be a multiplier. It's your assignment to do that. You must do that. Why? Because Jesus did it, and he's our model for ministry, and he did it. Did he pray, God, show me, Father, show me? You know, he picked Judas. Oh, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that in a few weeks. He picked Judas, and he tried to multiply Judas. That's a whole nother story. But Jesus prayed all night to ask. Pray. Ask God. God, who in my circle of influence can I be a multiplier to? God, I can't do it to the whole world. Jesus didn't do it to the whole world. If I can't do it to the whole world, but show me how to do that. Because here's what happens when God reveals talent. So God revealed the talent of these 12 that Jesus specifically had. And then here's what Jesus was responsible to do. He was responsible to manage that talent. Here's the definition of manage. It's on your outline. To bring about or succeed in accomplishing, sometimes despite difficulty or hardship. Let me read that again. So God reveals this talent. You look at somebody and you say, okay, this is the person that I'm going to multiply. You may not know right at first what the talent is, but the talent is there. We know it because God said it's there, didn't he? In Matthew chapter 5, he said, you're the light of the world. So we know the talent is there. So now you have a responsibility to manage that talent. And here's what it is. To bring about or succeed in accomplishing, sometimes despite difficulty or hardship. You're going to get some hard cases. You're going to be called in to be a multiplier in certain people's lives, and it's going to be a piece of cake. You're going to have other people that's going to drive you crazy. It's going to be so hard. And you're going to be faithful to it. Jesus was faithful to Judas, even though Judas was a betrayer. But when God shows you who those are, then you begin to manage that talent. What I mean by manage that talent is you be faithful to speak, and faithful to speak, and faithful to speak, and you just keep doing it. Leave the results up to God, but it's one of the two options. You're either going to be a diminisher everywhere you go, or you're going to be a multiplier. You're going to come into people's lives, and you're going to begin to speak life and blessings. And I have had so many people come into my life that have been intentional multipliers. They've just spoken things to me and about me that I didn't even see in myself. And so I made this decision, and I'm still trying to make this decision. And I sincerely mean this with all of my heart. I ask the Lord so often, help me, Lord, please help me. Please help me to add value. I didn't know the term multiplier, diminisher that clearly until last summer. It was in other ways that I would just say, God, would you please help me? Everywhere I go, help me to be like you. Help me to be like you. So let's make a distinction right now between this next fill-in. Fill this in. In managing talent, a diminisher will use people. The multiplier will develop people. So people that are diminishers, they just use people. Whether it's in the work world or whether it's in your family, wherever it is, people that are diminishers, they just suck the life out of people and they use people. But multipliers develop people. And again, you don't have to be a scholar. You can't give people what you don't have, but you can give people what you have, right? And you're the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world, so we can give that to people. This question I wrote on your outline. In your own life, identify an area where you've been an intentional or unintentional diminisher. Find one of those, because you have a spot. You have somewhere in your life. I have somewhere in my life. Maybe I've been an unintentional diminisher because I don't like somebody. Or maybe I've been an unintentional diminisher because I'm filled with pride or I'm jealous of someone. But find an area where you've been an intentional, maybe you've done it intentionally, or an unintentional diminisher, and name one step you can take to change that. God, just help me. Help me to take a baby step. I don't have to take a quantum leap, but help me to take a baby step, because I want to be a multiplier, not a diminisher. Are you with me on that? Everywhere we go, we have the choice. This is not on your outline, but it's on mine. I think it's true. Multipliers view people as a gift and not a resource. Think about that. Multipliers view people as a gift and not a resource, and then they utilize people to the fullest. When you're a multiplier, you see people as a gift, not as a resource. They're not just a resource to help me rise to the top. I don't see Jesus ever doing that. I don't see Jesus ever interacting with people and people being a resource. People were a gift. Jesus poured out his life for people, and they were a gift to him, and so he saw it that way. And so multipliers attract, and they optimize talent. Do you believe Jesus did that? He attracted you to himself, did he not? He attracted you to himself, and then he began to reveal to you the talents that you have. Here's the second thing that multipliers do. Number two, multipliers learn to connect people with opportunities. Multipliers learn, and we're all learning, but multipliers learn to connect people with opportunities. If you want to see people grow, give them opportunities. Give them opportunities. If you want to see them grow, give them opportunities and let them fail. Give them opportunities and let them fail. We were just talking about this yesterday in our quadrant. We just got a new person on our team. We're so excited to have this new person on our team. And one of the things that we say on our team is that we want you to fail. And we're going to celebrate you failing. We're going to celebrate it when you fail, because when you fail, it means you're trying. And you're going to fail. Say, I'm going to fail. Say it like you mean it, because you are. You're going to fail. We're going to fail. We're going to fail when we're trying to optimize our talent or other people's talent. We're going to fail. That's okay. We're going to celebrate that. And we were saying this yesterday in our quadrant, you should make some mistakes. You should make some mistakes, because if you don't make some mistakes, you're not risking enough. You're not trying enough. So risk and try. Jesus, as the best multiplier that humanity has ever seen, connected people with opportunities. When you connect people with opportunities, they are going to fail and they're going to disappoint you. And it's at that moment that you have an opportunity to continue to be a multiplier. Hey, it's okay. You got it wrong. Who cares? It's okay. It's okay. And you bring them up, you dust them off, and you let them do it again, and you let them do it again, and let them do it again. What's the alternative? You be a diminisher. Well, yeah, you just confirmed my suspicions. You really are stupid. You're stupider than I thought. No, come on. Whether they say it or not, there's thoughts that go out like that, right? Yes or no? Now, when you get that vibe, how many of you have had the vibe before that people think you're stupid? You just, maybe they didn't say it, but you get the vibe. You don't like that vibe, right? I like the vibe that says to me, it's okay. It's okay. We're going to do this again, and I'm going to come alongside of you, and I'm going to help you do it, and I'm going to help you. Listen, please hear me say this. Say, I'm listening. I am not speaking as one who has this down. I am speaking this as one who is learning, okay? So I am in the classroom of transformation, learning to become a multiplier. Okay, that's what I'm doing. So please don't hear me saying I got this all together. So let's look at this amazing way that Jesus connected people with an opportunity, okay? Here's what Jesus did. The apostles, so we're in Mark again, chapter 6, and this is this amazing opportunity where the disciples get to see multiplication firsthand. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour. I like that. I like that in the New Living Translation, their ministry tour. You know, you're on a ministry tour. You're on a lifetime ministry tour. Isn't that cool? The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him about all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said, because there are so many people coming and going that Jesus and the apostles didn't have any time to eat. So they left the boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and the people from many towns ran ahead to the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowds. He stepped out from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. We can never lose sight of this. Multipliers are teachers. They're teachers, they're teachers, they're teachers. You don't have to have a degree in it, but multipliers are teachers. So Jesus sees this teachable moment right in front of him. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go by the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." Now, here's Jesus. Here's Jesus connecting people with an opportunity. Jesus said, "You feed them." Now, I want you to wrap your brain around that. You feed them. So we got thousands of people out there, 5,000 plus people, no food, no King Supers. And Jesus sees this opportunity to connect people with the supernatural, isn't he? He's going to connect people with the supernatural. "You feed them," he says. With what? I can imagine this conversation. You kidding me, right, Jesus? Right. "You want me to feed these 5,000 people with what?" they asked. "We'd have to work for months to earn enough food to buy enough money to buy food for all these people. How much bread do you have?" said Jesus. "Go and find out." They came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They're probably rolling their eyes. Can you imagine? Come on, Jesus. Let us tell you how this works when you're out here in the middle of nowhere. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. They sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the loaves and the fish. He looked up toward heaven and he blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to his disciples so they could distribute it to the people. Why did he give it to the disciples? Why did he make them pass it out to the thousands? Why didn't he just start a buffet line? Jesus' buffet line. Why didn't he do that? I think there was something that Jesus was doing in connecting people with an opportunity to experience something supernatural that they were going to need in the future. That's what multipliers do. They connect people with opportunities to experience the supernatural so they can walk out the supernatural in the future. Isn't that the God that we serve? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never changed. And here's this opportunity, and he's making the disciples do it. They're probably thinking, what in the world? Breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets full left over, bread and fish, a total of 5,000 men. Their families were fed from those loaves. Jesus, and I'm going to explain to you what I mean about the Dirty 30 and the Timeless Teens. I thought about this just this afternoon. You know, Jesus was constantly extending challenges to people, was he not? Constantly, everywhere Jesus went, he was extending challenges and he was balancing the challenges with the opportunity to grow. So he wasn't overwhelming them, but he was stretching them. And I was thinking about, and I just got educated on this week. I'm glad that I can get educated on things every week if I look. Got educated this week on the Dirty 30s. And the Dirty 30s were the 30s, the 1930s, when what humanity, what the United States of America experienced was the Great Drought. The Great Drought and the Dust Bowl of the 30s. I read about it today, and I read about it, and I was just gripped with what was described as the Dirty 30s, and I thought about the challenges that were facing the people in the 30s. And here's what I learned about the Dust Bowl in the Dirty 30s. Here's what had happened in the 30s. There were two things that were happening in combination that led to this great, great challenge of the Dirty 30s. The first thing was a drought. There was a drought. There was a very real drought. It wasn't raining. There was no drought. And as a result of that drought, people began to panic. And as a result of that panic, here's what happened. The farmers of those days began to practice or continued to practice farming principles that worked when they were not in a drought. So in other words, the farming practices or principles that work in non-drought times do not work in drought times. And so what the farmers of that day were doing is they were constantly tilling up the soil, tilling up the topsoil to the place where all of the things that were rooted in the ground that would come up in the right time with very little moisture, all of that stuff was getting chewed up. So the topsoil had nothing that it was rooted to. And so as a result of the drought and the wrong practices, 850 million tons of that crucial topsoil was blown away. So what was perpetuated by the drought were wrong practices. And because of the drought and the wrong practices, the Dust Bowl of the 30s was something that the United States of America lived through. And I was reading about that, and I was reading about all of the hardship and the heartache that people experienced, and much of it was due to things that were out of their control, drought, that was out of their control. But some of it was also due to things that were in their control. They didn't know the right practices. The farming practices needed to change. They didn't need to till so deep, because when they were tilling so deep, those roots that stayed below the surface and could survive in drought times were being chewed up. So there was nothing in the ground anymore, and then the topsoil blew away. And here's what I thought about. So the Dirty 30s, and here's what I thought about right now for us. We are living in the Timeless Teens. It's 2014. Last year was 2013, and I thought, God, these are the Timeless Teens. Let these be the Timeless Teens, because here's two things that are out there that we're experiencing right now in the Timeless Teens. There's a drought out there, and there's a drought of multipliers out there. Where are the multipliers? Where are the people that are speaking life into people? Where are the multipliers that are calling out the talents in people that God put there? Where are they? There's a drought. We need those multipliers to be multiplying themselves and speaking out and challenging people like Jesus did. Everywhere Jesus went, he was speaking life into people. And the reality of it, there's a spiritual drought. And there's wrong practices. And the wrong practices are, there's too many diminishers. There's too many diminishers. There's too many people that are saying, you can't do it. It can't be done. You're no good. You're this. You're that. And there's too much of that out there. And so let's learn from the Dirty 30s. It was a tragic time, horrible time. Let's learn from that, but let's embrace the timeless teens that we're living in now and saying, God, there is not going to be a drought on my watch. And there's not going to be a drought on my watch because everywhere I go, I'm going to bless people. And I'm going to call out of them what I see in them, and I'm going to speak life into them, just like you did, Jesus. Not like I can do in my own strength, but just like you did, Jesus. Jesus, when he called me, he began to speak into my life. All of that unintentional diminishing that happened to me when I was 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20, it all happened in those 9 years, everywhere I went. And I just got madder and madder and madder and madder and madder. And I didn't know anything. I didn't know, don't till so deep. I didn't know any. I had no understanding of spiritual things. And then God in his wisdom started bringing multipliers into my life. And people began to speak truth into my life. And they began to say things like, you know what, Blake? There's something in you. You know what, Blake? You know what, Blake? And they just began to speak things. And they began to call things out of me. Because what multipliers do is they connect people with opportunities. That's what Jesus did with the feeding of the 5,000. He's going to feed 4,000 later, do the same thing. He was connecting multipliers with opportunities. We got to choose that. Let's learn from the dirty 30s. There's a spiritual dust bowl. There's a spiritual dust bowl in our country. And there's a drought in our country. And those of us that have been called and redeemed by the Lord, we need to be speaking out. We need to be speaking life into people and calling it out of people. Jesus constantly extended those challenges. We must be doing the same thing. Number three is this. Number three. Multipliers create an intensity that requires people's best thinking. Jesus did this. We just read what Jesus did. He made the disciples pass out the bread and the fish. Multipliers create an intensity so they don't make it easy on people. It's not that you want to coddle people, and it's not that you want to carry people through all the challenges, but you want to create an intensity that's going to require them to think outside of the box. Because if we don't do that, they'll never think they can do it, right? If we don't tell people that they can do something they've never tried, why would they try? So I want to go everywhere I go and say, I think you can do that. 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 And I want to do that wherever I go. Why? Because Jesus did that for me. Didn't he do that for us? He did that for us. So multipliers then, they create this intensity that requires people's best thinking. I said this a minute ago, but it's super important. We have to create an environment in our world where it's okay to fail. We have to do that. We have to do that. None of us can live in perfection, and none of us can live in this world over here. We can't live there. So we've got to create this world, and I'm telling you, I have messed this up so many times in my life. And most of the time where I mess it up the most is with the people that I care about the most. I messed it up many, 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 many times with my sons. Many times. Many times. Too many times. But Jesus had this ability to create an intensity that required people's best thinking. Let's look at this portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. So a little bit further on in Jesus' ministry, here's what the Bible says. So Jesus prayed all night, and he found the 12, and he picks the 12. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these apostles. Sometimes it may seem like they're impossibles, but apostles. I'm going to clean my tongue off here. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles. I want to be biblically correct here. Let my hermeneutics be right here. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, here is where the incredible challenge comes in. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those who have leprosy, and cast out demons. How would you like to hear that from Jesus? You just get called. You just get called by Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, start following me. And all of a sudden, he creates this great intensity around you. And he says, lay hands on sick people so they can recover. Lay hands on dead people so they can get up out of the grave. And cast out demons. What are you talking about, Jesus? That's an intensity that Jesus created on purpose. Why? Because it was going to require people's best thinking, which was faith thinking. Their best thinking is faith thinking. So here's what, and then he goes on to say this, give as freely as you have received. So they're thinking back, Jesus, you called me. It didn't cost me anything. And then he goes on to say this, don't take any money in your money belts, no gold, silver, or copper coins. These are working men, and they're told to go do these crazy things, cast out demons, raise dead people from the grave, and don't take any money for it. So he's creating an impossible situation for them. Don't carry a traveler's bag with a change of clothes or sandals or even a walking stick. Okay, Jesus, so you just want to really cripple me. He's creating this intensity. That's what multipliers do. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve to be fed. Whenever you enter a city or village, search for a worthy person and stay in his home until you leave that town. When you enter the home, give it your blessing. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. If it's not, take your blessing back. Wonder if Jesus was talking about diminishers. People that, wonder if he was talking about diminishers. If any household or any town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. I tell you the truth, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than such towns on the day of judgment. You know, there came a time in the 30s when the rain began to come. 1939, the rain started to fall again. And but what unfortunately happened in the 30s was tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people had to leave their homes and go to other places. They had to leave. They had to pick up and leave. They had to take all of their roots and they had to move. They had to move. And the enemy is out there. The enemy is out there and he's driving people. The enemy drives people and he's driving them to hell and he's driving them to confusion and he's driving them with that dust bowl of confusion and all of that stuff that the enemy is so good at doing. And God is saying, I got the solution. I've strategically placed multipliers all over planet Earth. And all they've got to do is do what I did. And I'm going to create an intensity for them, but I'm going to give them opportunities. And I'm going to show them how to do it. And I'm going to give them my spirit. And my spirit's going to live inside, so I'm not going to ask them to do anything that I didn't do. And I'm going to give them my word so they'll be empowered with the truth of my word so that they can set the world free. So really what it comes down to, I think, in a lot of this is choosing. Doesn't it really come down to choosing? And a lot of times what we choose, I'll let you choose what you want to choose. How's that? What we choose, we often by faith choose. And so I just want to encourage all of us. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I just want to encourage all of us to choose by faith to be a multiplier.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.